It's time to get organized this new year with Menards. Update your closet system and add style today with Closet Culture. Choose from two closet finishes and four colors of shelf boards to create a functional yet stylish closet solution that matches your home decor. Check out all our Closet Culture closet kits or view our weekly flyer on Menards.com to see all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Upgrade your tool storage for the new year with help from Menards. For heavy-duty storage that protects your tools, choose MasterForce. From shelving units to cabinets and so much more, you can keep your tools safe and within reach. Get versatile and durable storage from MasterForce today. Check out all our MasterForce storage in-store or check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
This was my identity.
Nobody talks about how freaking hard it is to be a dentist. What most people talk about is how this affects the patient. What nobody talks about is how this affects us. Dentistry is ready for this. Now is really the time.
Welcome to Wellness in Dentistry, where today we're going to be talking about creating boundaries without guilt in dentistry. I'm joined by my good friend and co-host, Dr. Kyle Stanley, who's a dentist, tech entrepreneur, speaker, and researcher. And I'm Dr. Martin Mendelson. I'm a disabled dentist, coach, speaker, and author. And my first book, One Move Makes All the Difference, is available for pre-order wherever books are sold. And together, Kyle and I have helped thousands of dental professionals pursue wellness in dentistry. If you're unfamiliar with us, we invite you to check out our respective links, websites, course offerings, keynote topics on wellnessindentistry.com. So, Kyle, how are you today?
I'm good. You know, it's September, and you and I are going to be busy the next few months.
Oh, yeah.
For people that don't really know the speaker or CE world is that we're kind of like teachers and we get the summer off. There's not a ton of events happening in the summer, but September to December is just wild. So I know you and I are going to be all over the country, all over the world.
Yep.
Spreading the love of wellness and dentistry, of soft skills, of communication, of team building. So yeah, I'm excited to be back in an airplane.
Yeah, no, it's super exciting. Yeah, we're both going to be all over the world. I know I'm bopping down to Grand Cayman and Michigan and New Orleans and Texas and all kinds of different places this fall.
Yeah.
It's going to be super fun. So
yeah, so this topic today, creating boundaries without guilt. I love that it says without guilt because a lot of people can create boundaries, but then they suffer from it. You know, it's like they create it, which is great.
Yeah.
But then on the back side of that, they're just feeling terrible about it. And I am an expert in boundaries because I am a recovered, non-boundary setter, let's say.
Yeah.
No, I was basically just a people pleaser. Mm-hmm. I think like everybody, I want to be liked. I want to be liked by my patients, by my team, by my family, by my friends. And so I didn't set boundaries. And what I didn't realize was when you set boundaries, people respect you more.
Yes.
Not less. They respect you more. Now, doesn't mean they always like you more, but they respect you more.
Yeah. Well, and I would say a therapist once told me something that really changed my life, which is guilt is a self-imposed emotion. And guilt isn't actually a real thing. It's just a concept that we create with our own head, within our own heads. And, you know, if you're a follower of my work, you know that I have a framework of the word TEAM that's an acronym that stands for thoughts drive emotions that create actions or inactions that manifest results. And this is a great topic to lay over the TEAM framework because this whole guilt thing is your thought about a boundary that you've set or looking to set. You're creating these, shall we call them, guilty thoughts in your mind that create these emotions of angst, etc., that then start this flywheel of differing actions or inactions that really aren't manifesting the life that you're looking to lead. And so this is a really, really important topic for a whole host of reasons.
And with boundaries, excuse me, there's a lot of boundaries that we need to set with different people or different groups of people. So when you're talking about a dentist, we need to set boundaries with our staff, our team. We need to set boundaries with our patients. We need to set boundaries with our families. We need to set boundaries with our referring specialists. And we need to set boundaries, most importantly, with ourselves.
Yeah, I was waiting for you to get to that one. That's one of the most important, and for some people, that one of the hardest, actually. Because you
So
could also.
which one of those, sorry to interrupt you, which one of those do you think dentists should focus on the most or first? Maybe not the most, but first. If they're not setting boundaries, they're burnt out, they're super stressed out. We don't want to start with do everything, right? We want to start with one. Which one do you think is most important or causes the most stress?
Well, here's the interesting thing. When you're setting, people may or may not agree with me here, but when you're setting a boundary with somebody else, there's actually still two parts to it. There's the other person as well as you. You have to uphold it yourself, which can be very difficult at times. So to answer your question, I would say the one of the most important is yourself, because if you're holding the boundaries within the confines of self, then you're going to be equipped to hold that line when somebody else tries to violate it, because you're not going to allow your own boundary to be violated. So, does that make sense?
Yeah, it's going back to this quote that I saw, and I'm trying to look for it right now, but it's something like when, oh, here we go. Setting a boundary is telling a patient or a team member what you are going to do, not what they are going to do. You can't control what they are going to do. And so I think that is a really good mindset shift that we need to think of is going back to, I think a few episodes ago, we did this kind of the two big ideas that you and I, two big, it was like mental health challenges or mindset changes that we did. One of the ones that I talked about was you can't control what other people are doing. You should focus on what you can do. And I think this is a good example of this, that even when you're setting a boundary, you can't control how they're going to react. You're only telling them what you're going to do.
Or, well, let me, I would challenge you there. What you can only tell them what you're going to do and or what you expect, because creating a boundary with somebody else is also communicating expectations. So, yes, I agree with you. You can't control what somebody else can do. And at the same time, it's our responsibilities as leaders to set that, to fully communicate and set that expectation. Right? Because if you don't do that, and someone then performs an action, well, you can't hold them accountable for that if you never communicated what your
It's so
expectation was to
true.
begin
It's
with.
so true. And we see this all the time. I mean, especially with patients, especially with team members.
The example I run into most often in frequency with my dentist coaching clients is the scenario where they're in their office and they just want a couple minutes to themselves, and the team keeps knocking at the door. And I can tell you in all candor, in every single situation, by the time we get done discussing this, the problem was, yes, the team member's action because they were told, et cetera. But in many cases, actually, it's all on the doctor, because either A, they never set the expectation. So I'm going to recant what I just said. So they never either set the expectation, or they've set it, but they don't respect their own decision. And when someone knocks on the door, they still answer.
Well, yeah, that's right. Well, that was like me with patients. I used to complain so much about how patients were so rude or their expectations were so crazy. Yet I never set expectations with them. And so, but then I would get mad when their expectations were incorrect, right? And so I think for me, when I went through my burnout, I needed to start with setting expectations with the patients, even more than my team. Team was probably number two, but patience. So, saying things like with complications, saying things like, I'm going to place this implant, implants are fairly predictable. However, we do have implants that don't integrate or that have problems over time. And if that happens, we're going to have to do it again, and there will be a fee associated with, and this is the associated fee, for example. And even if it's great and perfect, when I see you now, you are eating 1,000 meals a year and chewing and drinking and kissing and swallowing and doing all kinds of stuff that I can't control. And so we will need to service this at some point in your life. That could be in a week, that could be in 50 years, but at some point, this is going to need to be serviced.
Absolutely. It's funny you say that because we're both big fans of Dental Nachos, and it's such a big platform that it's a really good window into the big issues that we face as clinicians on a regular basis. And we've talked in the past about the holiday time and when people are asking about bonuses, we know that they don't have a system in place. But the other one that comes up a lot is, what do I do if a crown fractures in 48 months? Well, right then and there, what do we know? They
We know
haven't
there's
set
no expectation
expectations.
set.
And I hate to say this, I've kind of gotten a little bit more blunt on the board because, the I think Paul, Dr. Nacho, Paul Goodman said the other day, like, what would you do? And and my response was nothing, meaning, it's going to be on the patient. Why? Because as you talk about in your triangle of blame, there's the patient, there's the doctor, and then there's these other factors, biology, physics,
That no one
habits.
can control.
No one can control that stuff. So we create our own problems. Also, I mean, you're a master at this. I mean, in our Lightside Live course and also in your online course, I know you talk about how to set those expectations with patients. And my favorite example is there's no such thing as an insert or seat appointment in your practice. It's always a try-in. And everybody knows that, from your front office personnel to your clinical support personnel. Everybody knows we never say insert or final appointment or
Delivery,
seat. Yeah, we don't say that because we're setting up an expectation. And if the shade's off, if the contour's off, if the proximal contact, whatever, then the patient's expecting X and we're delivering Y, and that we're creating our own problem.
You know
So.
what's funny about that? When I started teaching that, I was teaching it so that the patient wouldn't get upset if something happened. And when I started teaching that, what so many of the doctors mentioned to me, and I think you may have even been on this call, was how relaxed they felt, the doctors, going into these appointments because they didn't feel the need that they had to perform. They had to get their crown no matter what. If there was an open contact, the margin was off, the shade was off, the bite was weird, so you had to adjust it a bunch. And so
Absolutely.
they came into these, quote unquote, try-in appointments with like, yeah, if it works, awesome, great. But if it doesn't work, yeah, we send it back to the lab or we take a new impression or whatever it is. And that part, going back to today's topic, is the boundary with yourself too, which is like you're going to speak in a certain way. That's the boundary. Even if the patient may be confused about it or question it.
And you just made me think of something, and let me tease this out, see if this makes sense or if I'm just crazy. Boundaries are actually in two parts, because I think most people think of boundaries in the second part, meaning they got to hold the line on something. But a true boundary is set and then kept. So it's two parts. It's not one part. And I think many people forget that. They forget that they need to overtly communicate this because nobody's a
It's a great
mind
example.
reader.
This is a great example. And a great example we can use for this is no-show policy. Okay, so people always ask me this. Oh gosh, my patients, they don't show up. And then I say, well, that do you charge something? And they say, well, I mean, sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. I'm like, if you don't have a policy, first of all, you have to have a policy. I mean, this I teach this on my complication compliance method. Any business, you have to have a policy, know what it is. Then you have to communicate the policy. And then you have to remind people every time. And that's the annoying part with expectations and boundaries is that You have to do it every time, even though it's only a few percentage points.
Exactly.
So, how many of your patients no-show? Very little, right? But what you have to do is, and I love when team members do this, this is how we teach them at my practice. When you're scheduling the appointment, okay, we have you for in 2 weeks on Friday the 27th, and you're coming at 3 p.m. Remember, our policy is that if you don't cancel or reschedule within whatever your policy is, 24 hours, 20, you know, 2 business days, whatever, then there will be a $200 charge per hour that we have scheduled, right? And they say, okay, great. Then when you send the 1 week reminder, it has that same script. When you send the 24 reminder, it has the same script. When you send the 2 hour reminder, it has the same script. So it's to the point where they're like, okay, I get it. If I miss, I pay $200 an hour. I get it. And when you do that, what happens is patients will call, and this happens in my practice. They'll call and say, you know, I'm so sorry. I had an appointment with Dr. Najad tomorrow, and, you know, my daughter's sick. I'm not going to be able to come in. Go ahead and charge my card.
Oh, 100%.
They don't even, it's like they know so much because we've set the expectation and we've reminded them about it multiple times.
I have this on my coaching contracts, and that's what, my clients will do every single time. They're like, "Oh my gosh, I got a minute. Please feel free to charge me." Every time, right? Because it's been clearly communicated.
Yeah, so it goes back to what you talk about with Project Aristotle, right? What are the two things that they found at Google?
It was structure and clarity. So what Google did was they actually proved something they never planned on proving. Because what they were looking to do initially was to figure out what individual attributes did an individual need to possess to be a good employee at Google. And what they ended up doing to figure that out was they observed 100 teams over the course of more than a year. And what they discovered, what it wasn't the individual attributes, it was actually how the people fit into the group itself, and that structure and clarity was the most important. People needed the structure, and they needed the clarity around the who, what, when, where, why, in order for them to perform at their best in groups as teams. So that's, and dental practices are teams.
Yeah, exactly. Let's talk about the last boundary that I mentioned, or maybe the second to last, which was your family. This is one that people struggle with. This is one that I definitely struggled with. And it comes from this idea of fragmented thinking. That's kind of what I call it. I know that in a dental practice, one of the things that makes dentistry so challenging is you're not just doing dentistry. You're doing dentistry, then maybe your husband or wife is texting you something about, you know, what's happening with the dog, and then your hygienist is asking for an exam, and then the chair in room two breaks, and your front office is saying, oh, the lab case is going to be late for this. And it's like, there's too many fucking things going on. I can't focus on anything, right? And that is one of the things that makes dentistry so stressful. It's kind of like why being a parent is so stressful too, because you're trying to do something while someone else wants you to wipe their butt or get them a banana or whatever. And so coming back to being present is so very important. And so what this means is when you're in your practice, you need to have a boundary with your family that I'm at work. Please don't contact me because it stresses me out when I'm trying to think about both work and home at the same time.
Absolutely.
And additionally, what I'm doing when I'm home is I'm telling my team to not contact me so that I can truly be present with you. So you're not trying to have this work-life balance at the same time, right? I'm all about work-life balance, but when you're at work, focus on work. When you're at home, focus on home.
Well, you know what I'm going to say, don't you? There's no such thing as balance, right?
Yeah.
So, one of my favorite quotes is by Steve Uzell, stated in the book The One Thing, that multitasking is merely the opportunity to screw up more than one thing at a time.
I love that
And
quote.
so human beings actually can't multitask. We think we can, but we can't. So the example I use in my teachings is this. Can you do two things at the same time? Yes. Can you focus on two things at the same time? No. So what's the ultimate example? Texting and driving. Can you text and drive at the same time? Technically, yes. Can you focus on both at the same time? Absolutely not. And the horrible statistics of accidents and mortality speak for themselves. And so, actually, if you look into this and the science behind multitasking, it's actually a computer term, believe it or not, that we then brought into the human psyche that just doesn't exist. And so, there's a concept called switch tasking. So you're not multitasking, you're actually switch tasking. And it actually takes your brain a heck of a lot longer than you realize to switch from one thing to the next. So if your spouse is calling you because I'm so upset the plumber just came and this is going to be a lot more money than I thought it was going to be, you're doing a huge disservice to your spouse because what is he or she supposed to do right then and there anyway?
Yeah, nothing. No control.
You know? So it's something we really need to think about. And honestly, if anybody listening is in a relationship where the other party either can't seem to understand this or seems to be trying to guilt trip you or gaslight you or whatever, I would strongly recommend couples therapy because that's not a healthy relationship. And we need to be focused on our patients because they're counting on us to do the best job that we possibly can. And being distracted isn't going to help that.
Yeah, and I was so bad at this. I was doing surgery, then going back to the back office, texting with my wife about the groceries or, my son's soccer team or something, and then coming back and then doing a hygiene exam, and it was so challenging for me. It was so exhausting. I think it was like very mentally exhausting. Like you were saying, going from one task to another and not really having the time to adjust to that specific task.
Yeah, 100%. So, go ahead. What were you gonna say?
No, I was going to say let's explore one of the different people. We've talked a little bit about patients, a little bit. We've talked about family. We haven't really talked about boundaries with yourself or with your staff.
Yeah. I think let's talk about team first. So, one of the things that I've noticed over the years, having interacted with thousands, is the majority of practices don't actually have standard operating procedures or even job descriptions in writing. And, it's so critically important because that's not only a communication of expectation, but how the heck are you supposed to evaluate somebody's performance if you've never even communicated what their performance is supposed to be to begin with? So,
So true.
you know what I mean? So, if we use team as an example, let's combine two subjects, right? So, if you don't have a standard operating procedure or employee manual as an example that states that cell phones are to be left in the break room, then you technically, I'm not going to say, well, how do I want to say this? Then you don't have a leg to stand on when you get mad at somebody for having their cell phone in the
In just
operatory
in
because
sterilization room or something.
you never told them what your expectation was to begin with.
True. It's true.
Right?
And we had this happen in our practice is we had it in a manual, but it was just kind of a manual that you give to them when they're onboarded, And so, yes, we expected them to read it realistically. We know that very few people are reading that.
Well, and if it's any decent length, like how much are you really going to remember in any human, let's face it, right?
And we had to really set these reminders. And what it came down to was we had all female staff at the time. We now have some male staff, but at the time it had all female staff. And so we said, it has to stay with your, and if you have a purse, it stays in your purse. If you have a bag, it stays in your bag, which stays in the back office. So when you're on break, go back, use your phone, whatever you want to do. I mean, you've got your 15 minutes or 30 minutes. It's yours to use, but we did have people that were using it Like they would say they were cleaning the room, but then we'd go back and they're like looking on their phone in the room. And that's the reminder is if you haven't set the expectation, you can't enforce the boundary.
Absolutely.
It's
And
funny how
people.
we've talked today about boundaries, but really we've talked so much about expectations too.
True.
They're really like one and
Yeah.
they're like brother and sister very many
Yeah.
times. It's like you set the expectation of how you want of what will happen if a certain situation
Yeah.
goes down, and the
Yeah.
boundary is just enforcing the expectation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And how interesting is it? Because I'm sure you've heard this too, where somebody says, well, I don't want to be a jerk about it. And what they're really talking about is just simply upholding a policy, a statement, a procedure that they communicated previously. And I can remember, particularly in undergrad, I had two professors that were very well known for their exams being just hard as hell. But they were also really well known for being very fair people. And so the no one ever complained that the exams were unfair. They complained that they were hard. And there was a difference. Now, when I was in dental school, I had the exact opposite experience that's really left a mark on me because I'm about to tell you this like almost 30 years later. I had a professor in microbiology. And this second micro exam was a bit legendary with the upperclassmen that, most people failed, et cetera, et cetera. And I went in and I asked this professor, I said, listen, there are some things in the chapter that are not covered in the notes nor indicated on the syllabus. Are we responsible for that material? The answer was no. I'll give you one guess what was on the exam.
That specific stuff.
And I went back. And I said, I wasn't a jerk about it. I mean, I was a student, and honestly, I was much shyer back then than I am now. And I said, sir, I know this is what I said because I remember I said, with all due respect, I asked you if this was going to be on the exam, and you said no, and then it appeared on the exam. What did I miss, or something like that? I was trying to be sheepish and shy because I didn't.
Your communication probably wasn't as great as it is now.
No. And basically I didn't get an answer, to be honest with you. But it's that kind of thing. So the point of this story is this. You were never a jerk for upholding something that you previously communicated effectively.
That's right.
You
That
know?
is exactly right.
Right?
And so I would hope that people listening to this get in front of setting expectations so much because
Yeah.
enforcing a boundary is so much easier when you've set the expectation and reminded people about it.
Yeah.
It's like I just right before we got on here, I was on another call and I text Martin and said,
Yeah.
"Hey, I'm gonna be, five minutes or more late, right?"
Yeah.
And you said, "No problem, let me know when you're on, right?"
Yeah.
But had I not told you and just showed up 5 minutes late,
Right.
probably would have been like concerned or
Yeah.
annoyed or something, right? And
Yeah.
so I love to set expectations at the beginning now.
Yeah.
When I'm entering a room, if I know I'm gonna have to leave early or if I'm gonna have to listen for
Yeah.
my phone because my daughter's doing this,
Yeah.
whatever, then I'll
Yeah.
say it at the beginning so that when it
Yeah.
happens, everyone's already expecting that.
Yeah, 100%. And so maybe in the end, as you pointed out, we'd said this is about boundaries, but we're talking about expectations. Maybe at the end of the day, the boundary is the act of upholding the expectation,
Yeah, I think you're right.
which we haven't necessarily talked about yet,
Yeah.
right?
And I think that's a great way to think about this is focus on setting expectations so clearly that when that situation may happen,
Yeah.
enforcing the boundary is so simple.
Absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, I'm about to hire a virtual assistant for the first time, and I did a couple of interviews this morning, and I said to both of them what I say in my online course on delegation. So if you have trouble delegating, go check out my online course. But what I said to them was, listen, this is the start of a new working relationship, and there's going to be times where things are not necessarily clear. And frankly, I do believe that your ability to complete a task to a given standard is as much about my ability to communicate what I expect as it is your ability to actually do it. So I want you to understand that I'm going to be checking in with you as we start to learn each other's workflows, which is just going to be as much about me making sure I'm communicating to you properly as it is making sure you're doing it. And I looked at them and I said, "How do you feel about that?" And so it's a slight nuance that most people never do that can really change the state of a superior subordinate relationship, right?
Yeah, maybe to finish off this episode, we can talk about staff boundaries, expectations and boundaries. And last week at our Lightside Club, which is my twice monthly mastermind that Martin joins us for many times too, I was on with one of our Lightsiders, and she was telling me about a staff member who has been consistently late. And it's hard because it's consistent, but not frequent. So, like, they're late once a month, but for the last 6 months.
Oof.
And it is really, really getting to her. And what I was so proud of her for was that she set the expectation that if you're late, there's going to be this many warnings, verbal warnings, then there's going to be this many write-ups, and then after that there's more of like a disciplinary action. Now, in her specific country, she's in Europe, it's challenging to fire people, and it's challenging to change their pay or even cut their hours. So she was a little hand tied, her hands were a little tied. But let's talk about in the US at least. If you have a team member that you've set a boundary, and the bound or the expectation, let's start with the expectation. The expectation is we start working at 9. So let's be here whenever you need to be here. You can come early and have your coffee or have your breakfast and go to the bathroom or do your hair or whatever you want to do. But at 9, we're working. Okay. And
So can I interrupt you for a split second? I would actually challenge you on that because what I heard was I can clock in at any time.
That's not what I was saying. So I wasn't that clear on that.
So in that, I think it's just an example of saying, okay, so play back for me what I just shared with you, right? Now, if you didn't, if you didn't have the preamble that I verbalized 2 minutes ago, then that might sound a little weird, but if you do have the preamble, then that statement is part of the conversation. But
So true. If this person is not doing that and they are late, they should know that we are going to have you have this many verbal warnings, you have this many written warnings, and at that point, we are going to reduce your pay, reduce your hours. There's a chance that you could be let go, and we're going to have check-ins at this interval.
Now, the one thing I would say is this, because neither you nor I are attorneys or HR professionals, and things differ within different states. And so I know that there's verbiage that can be worked in about reasonable, shall we say, circumstances or excuses, et cetera. So I would strongly encourage you to check in with, like a company like Bent Erickson or somebody like that to help you with the verbiage, because the flip of that would be, well, what if my kid gets sick? Like, they're not going to tell me they're going to get sick on the 5th of March. Like, how am I supposed to know, right? So, there's always a reasonable way out of any of this stuff. But again, we have to define what that is, not handle it on the fly, right?
So I think when I think about what we've talked about today, as we've talked about it, it's kind of molded itself a little bit,
Which is
hasn't, to
so
where,
fun.
it's like We need to set the expectation. The more times and the more reminders someone expectations are being set, it becomes very easy to enforce that boundary on the
Oh,
back end.
100%. So I'm going to quote one of my favorite Dr. Gary DeWoodisms. I love Gary DeWood. Gary and Cheryl are really good friends of ours. And so if you have that conversation ahead of time and someone begins to violate that understanding, you can look at them and say, listen, we've talked about this policy of when to get to work on time. We've reviewed it several times, and over the last month, you've been late three times. What's changed for you? I love that statement, right? So I offer that to the listeners.
Yeah, no, it's good. So remember, talking about boundaries, talking about expectations, these are with everybody in your life, your patients, your team, yourself, your family, your neighbors, anybody that you're involved with. And I'll tell you from personal experience, the better you get at setting boundaries and expectations, the happier you'll be.
And
And
assertive is not aggressive.
yeah, that's right.
You know, standing up for a policy, a statement, if you want to use the word boundary that you've previously said and communicated, standing up for that and holding your ground is not being an asshole.
Yeah,
It's being a leader.
it's exactly right.
There's a difference.
And I think the last thing I'll say with this is boundaries are a skill like anything else. I know
Oh,
that
yeah.
Martin and I say this stuff all the
Yeah.
time, but this is not something that you should expect to do well the first time, just
No.
like how when you prepped your first crown, you didn't do it that well.
Right.
The
And
better, the more you do it, the
yeah.
better you get at it. And the better you get at it, the easier it gets.
And let's call this what it is. So let's think of the scenario. You believe that you've communicated this, and this member of your team isn't doing it. That's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But it's also okay at the same time. It's okay to be uncomfortable. What's not okay, as the leader and in many cases the owner, what's not okay is choosing to continue that level of anxiety and angst because you choose not to deal with something that you've established to begin with.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, well, I think this is a good one. This was it was fun to work through and kind of see how it molded.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like I learned something even just
Yeah.
going through it with you, Martin.
Agreed. Agreed. Agreed.
Well, we appreciate you guys. Thanks for listening. If you have a colleague or friend that you think may need to set more boundaries or expectations, send this to them, and we hope that they get a ton of value out of it. And if you're interested in joining us for some of our live courses, you can go to wellnessanddentistry.com and click on links, and you'll see all of the links to our live courses, our online courses, and anything that Martin and I do. And we'll see you on the next episode of Wellness and Dentistry.
Bye-bye.